All right, how are you guys doing? All right? Yeah! There we go. That's what I'm talking about. All right? Thank you. If we haven't met, my name's Jake. If you're just jumping into Salt Company at the beginning of the semester, welcome to you. If you've been here all year, you know that I spent a good amount of time at the beginning of last semester kind of annoying you about a class that I was teaching on gender and sexuality. I have condensed that class from 6 weeks into 3 hours. And those 3 hours are going to be on March 8th. And if you were like, man, I couldn't commit to the 6 weeks in the fall, or I just wasn't going to do that, this summit on March 8th is totally for you. It's 3 hours, 9 to noon, March 8th. We're going to hit kind of the big chunks of what I covered in that class. I've spent the last 3.5 years in my doctoral work studying what is a biblical understanding of gender and sexuality? And I would love to help you understand, specifically you as college students, understand your cultural moment now. How did we get to where we are today in terms of how our world understands sexuality? What does the Bible have to say about these things? And then how should we live now as people who want to believe and proclaim what's true and yet do it in such a way that is gracious and loving to those around us? How do we do that real practically? And so we're going to cover those things on March 8th. You have the handout as you were given as you walked in. You can sign up there. If you use the coupon code SALT, you can get half off. If you go, I can't even afford the half off, use the promo code STAFF, and it gets you in for free, okay? There you go, little secret there. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. And last week, Trent talked about mission. You've been in a discipleship series for the last several weeks. We're actually ending that series tonight. And last week, Trent talked about mission. And I think that it's easier for us as a ministry or as a church to get you to think about devoting a short amount of time, perhaps it's a 2 week trip or even a summer length deal. I genuinely think it's easier for us to get you to think about devoting a short amount of time of your life to go overseas and tell a whole bunch of people about Jesus. I think that's easier to get you to think about going to the nations than it is for you to think about going back to your dorm room, your classroom, your apartment, and to live the kind of life on your campus that glorifies God. If you're anything like me, it is way easier to wrap my mind around getting on an airplane, flying 2,000 miles away, sharing the gospel with a whole bunch of people that I'm probably never gonna see again. That's so much easier. You can kind of hold it together, right? You can kind of play the part like I'm a short-term missionary here. Like this is interesting. This is fun. Like this is what I'm here to do. That's way easier for me to think about doing that than it is to think about walking across the street to my neighbor or next door to my neighbor or the person that I see at the gym regularly. Because I know, and you know, that if you try to influence that person that you see regularly, if you try to influence them for the gospel and it goes poorly, you have to see them again. You have to see them at perhaps like a family gathering. Like if I try to share the gospel with my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, like I don't get to just hop on a plane and never see them again. Like, if that interaction is awkward, then I'm going to be living in a whole lot of awkward for a while. So I really do. I think it's easier for us to talk about and to celebrate going to Africa or going to East Asia or going to the Middle East than it is for us to see that the things that really, really move the needle when it comes to the mission of God and participating in the purpose of God for your life is not the super obvious, is not the super spiritual things that you can do, but it's actually catching a vision right now for how you can take your passion in life, whatever that passion is, for how you can take your passion in life and use that passion for a greater purpose right where you are right now. Right where you are, day in and day out on a regular Thursday. Because here's the thing, if the only way to reach our world If the only way to reach our world with the gospel is to wait until we get enough like full-time professional ministry people as church staff or overseas missionaries or church planters or worship leaders, then we might as well just pack up right now. Because the reality is that 99% of you in this room are not going to do that. You're not going to go to school for 4 years and be on this career path, and then you're going to go, I feel called into full-time ministry. I'm not saying that's bad if that is you. I'm saying for most of you, that's not going to be the case. And so most of you are going to go live normal everyday lives somewhere across our nation when you graduate. It's really easy for us to think of like frontline ministry as the pastors and the church planters. I mean, good grief, we're in a network where we celebrate planting churches, and rightly so. That it's awesome. You go to a conference and it's like, here's the next church plants, and the church planters get up there on stage, and it's almost like, you know, it's like modern day Apostle Paul's, right? Like, these are the super spiritual people. Maybe one day they'll be in stained glass, right? Like these are the superstars. And here you are going, I don't have a passion for that. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a church planter. I don't want to be a worship leader, a songwriter. Like, you're looking at the timeline of your life and the dots aren't that, because you're a business major. And you're looking at the timeline of your life, and the dots on the timeline of your life right now are like, I'm in school for business, and then the next dot after I graduate is boring office job. Can I get a witness? Anyone? Boring office job. Yes. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're going... And what we're talking about is like the mission of God to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, that every nook and cranny, every tribe and tongue, and every race, and every person on this planet would hear the gospel. And yet here you are focused on accounting. Oh, man. We're talking about a global vision, a global mission, and there you are, you're going... spreadsheets. That's my jam. I gotta be, you accounting guys are gonna lose respect for me. I've opened Excel twice in my life. Twice. One time I really messed things up, and Trent can tell you more about that. And the second time I actually used it for what it was made for, and I did not like it. All right? So I'm probably not gonna open it again. But there you are. But the thing that drives you is not accounting. It's not the thing that drives you. It's not Excel. But you're sitting there, and you envision your boring office job turning into a promotion, into another promotion, into maybe a job offer, and you can see yourself kind of climbing a corporate ladder, and pretty soon you're in those C-suite offices with all the success, with all the job security, with all the money that you can imagine. And maybe there's someone in this room that when I say that, there's something within you that resonates with. But you don't think you could actually ever say that out loud. Because you're sitting in a room here and in a ministry and in a church that's all about being laser focused on taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so you just kind of go, I'm just gonna keep those kind of ambitions to myself. Because that sounds like the least spiritual thing I could ever want to do with my life. And if that's you, if your passion in life is not to become a pastor, is not to become a church planter or a worship leader, but it's something totally different, and you're wondering, where do I fit as just a regular Christian in the mission of God? I have your answer right here. It's right here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. This is amazing. Look what it says. It says, and whatever you do. All right, let's just stop right there. I want to just read that again. And whatever you do. The Apostle Paul is writing this. This super spiritual guy, right? We think the Apostle Paul, he had this massive encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He saw the risen Christ. He heard from the Lord. Scales fell off his eyes, and now he devoted his life, once persecutor of the church, now missionary for the church. And then here's the Apostle Paul going, and whatever you do, and in case that wasn't enough for you, right? You go, well, I wonder what he's talking about. He goes on and he says, in word or in deed. Which pretty much covers everything, right? Like, it's not as though Paul is sitting down here and he's looking at you and he's going, well, let's just stop and talk about what you want to do with your life. Like, what? Like, no, really, tell him. Like, what do you want to do with your life? You want to do what? He just flies right by that. Because here's the thing. You are specifically wired with a whole bunch of passions, with a whole bunch of abilities, with a whole bunch of interests and inklings and all sorts of things that you can do. And some of you are in a bit of this kind of like analysis paralysis because you're trying to figure out God's will for your life. And you think God's will for your life is some sort of secret because God's playing this massive celestial game that you never asked to play, but here you are playing it where he's hidden his will for your life somewhere in the sand and he's just sitting there laughing at you while you try to like figure out where it is. When the reality is that short of your whatever being immoral or illegal, God cares way less about what you do then he cares about why you do what you do and how you do what you do. I actually don't think that God cares a whole lot about what job you get when you graduate. Because I'm pretty sure that falls into whatever. So if the next dot on your timeline is boring office job, that sounds like whatever to me. Or maybe it's not accounting. We'll come back to you accountants here in just a second. But do you have a passion for education? Any teachers in the room? Anyone who wants to be a teacher? Yeah, I figured, right? And maybe this is the reason, maybe it's not. Maybe you yourself had a teacher that had a tremendous impact on your life and you want to be that for the next kid. You want to be that person that sees something in a kid who maybe even just has a rough home life, and you want to be that person that sees something in them that no one else sees and that maybe they themselves don't even see. You want to be the one that speaks life into that kid and really changes their life and impacts them for a long time. That sounds like whatever to me. Maybe for you, it isn't like a specific job or specific track. Yeah, you're going to school for something, but really in your mind, you look at the timeline of your life and you really hope that one of those dots at some point is to be a mom or to be a dad. I'm pretty sure that falls into whatever. What do you want to do? What's that thing that when you think about it, when you think about devoting your life or even just a season of your life to that thing, like you actually get pretty excited about it. And not only do you get excited about it, but you actually, maybe it's something that you're actually kind of good at, but it doesn't really fit into this supposedly super spiritual category. And so maybe you think, well, I guess because this, like, that's my ambition and not these other things. I guess my place in the kingdom of God is to just sit on the sidelines and watch the spiritual superstars do all of the great things for God. Here's what's true tonight, Salt Company, that while it's very easy to think sometimes that you have like the really, you have like the really spiritual people over here doing great things for God, and then the really regular people over here, that you're just kind of like trying to figure out how to live in the world. The reality is that if you are in Christ, we are all just sons and daughters of God on one mission, And that mission is that whatever we do with our life, whatever you do, wherever you do it, that we would do everything, as he goes on to say in verse 17, everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, when Paul says, in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, that means that if you're a Christian, you no longer have the option to do anything half-heartedly. That's what everything means. Whatever you do, wherever you're doing it, bring it all. Do everything you're doing. You don't get to half-butt your job. We'll keep it clean for, you know, right now. You don't get to halfway do your job. You don't, if you're a Christian, you don't get to do a halfway job at being a student. Because that's part of your job right now. You don't get to half-heartedly be a leader. And some of you really need to hear this, because some of you, the way that you approach your life is with the mindset that I'm going to try to do the minimum amount of work for the maximum amount of comfort. And what Paul's saying right here is, listen, in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything, bring all of you to the table, and so sorry, you don't get to do that. Because Christians don't get now to half-heartedly do anything, because what you do and why you do it and how you do it is no longer about you. But now you're to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's your new purpose. It isn't that you become a rock star teacher or a rock star accountant or a rock star parent or a rock star anything for your own name's sake. It's so that now whatever you do it for the purpose of showing the greatness of Jesus Christ to those who are watching. Because here's the thing, if your passion becomes your purpose, then you're totally sunk. If your passion in life becomes your purpose in life, then once that project is done, or once those kids move out of the house, or once summer break comes, then you're done. But if your passion has a greater purpose, and if your purpose outlives your passion, and your teaching has a bigger purpose, and your accounting has a bigger purpose, and your parenting has a bigger purpose, then what you do, whatever you do, will live far beyond your short life. Now here's the thing, I'm not sure that in order to be an accountant, let's go back to the accountants here, all right? It sounded like I was making fun of you at the beginning. I'm really not, all right? I'm not sure that to be an accountant in the name of the Lord Jesus means that you have to, at the end of every email you send, have John 3:16. Well, because you want to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, you know, so I'll put a verse at the end of that email. I'm not sure that you have to, like, hide scripture references in your documents. I don't even know if that's legal, all right? You probably shouldn't do that. I'm not sure that that means that you have to have really bad Christian art from Hobby Lobby in your cubicle. In fact, I hope you don't, okay? I really hope you don't. Man, that place drives me nuts. I don't think that's what that means to do that in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so how do you do that? How do you be an accountant in the name of the Lord Jesus? Well, I've never been an accountant. That's probably obvious by now. And I promise you, you don't want me to be your accountant, okay? It will go poorly, all right? But I imagine it goes something like this, all right? You do the best job at your job that you can possibly do. You don't just show up to your job to get a paycheck. You show up to your job with a purpose that is far beyond your paycheck. You show up early, you stay late, you get your projects done on time, and as far as it depends on you, you get them done early. And you don't do it because you're trying to kiss your boss's butt either. You're not trying to suck up to anybody because you actually know who your real boss is, right? You know that your real boss is the Lord Jesus Christ, King Jesus. And here's the thing, when you know that your real boss is King Jesus, you do the kind of work fit for a king. That's why you do a great job at your job. And while you're preparing to be an accountant, as you go to class, right now, when you go to class, you don't halfway show up to class. You bring your whole self to class. You come ready to learn. You come ready to contribute. You come ready to become as much of an expert in accounting as you possibly can be. You take every opportunity that you have to get to know the accounting world so you can know it like the back of your hand. You actually read the books they ask you to read. Crazy thought, right? But you actually do that. Because you go, they must have told me to read this for a reason. This is going to make me better at this job. And you actually do the work that you're asked to do. So that way that when you graduate and that next dot on your timeline is boring office job, you step into that boring office as an expert accountant and you do the best, the very, 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 very best job that you can do as an accountant. That's step one. Now let's just assume that you do that, okay? And other people in your boring office start to notice. And before long, you start getting more opportunities. You start being handed bigger accounts because you've developed a reputation of someone who does high quality work with integrity. You work hard. You're a great team player. You get bigger accounts. You get bigger projects. And now you move out of your cubicle that doesn't have the lame art from Hobby Lobby, and you move out of your cubicle into an actual office because now you're not just an accountant at this place, but you lead a team of accountants who are doing great work and solving really big problems. And before long, you look at your bank account, and you see the cash just starting to pile up. All right, can we just stop and imagine that right now? Imagine you 3 years from now, 4 years from now, with a pile of cash. Some of you, your mouths are watering, right? You're like, that's what I'm talking about. Now, what are you going to do with it? And you go, Jake, I'm gonna do what every person who hits it big in the business world does. We're talking big houses, we're talking fast cars, we're talking cool vacations, we're talking awesome retirement funds so I can retire on the beach with my hot wife until I die. I got a pile of cash, man. Like, what else am I gonna do? You see, in that moment, your passion became your purpose. And you're done. But let's just imagine that instead of piling up all your money and buying all the toys that you get and going on all the trips that you would want to go on, let's just imagine that you go, no, this accounting job is not my purpose. I'm good at it, I'm passionate about it, but it is not my reason for living. And so you look at your pile of cash that's just piling up in your account, and you go, you know what I'm going to do? From the minute that hits my account, I'm going to take right off the top. I'm going to take a set substantial percentage of that cash, and I'm going to put it to work for the kingdom of God. I'm going to meet the spiritual needs of my community. I'm going to give some to my local church. I'm going to meet the physical needs of my community. I'm going to partner with some organizations in my community here that's seeing the poor and the marginalized, those in tremendous need. I'm going to give tremendous amounts to them. I'm going to partner up with a missions organization that is dead set on taking the gospel to the most unreached places of the earth, of translating the Bible into their language so that they can actually hear the gospel and understand it and then read the word of God for themselves. And as you faithfully do that, that pile of cash becomes a mountain of cash. And you get promoted, you keep getting promoted, you maybe take a bigger, better job somewhere else, and you may get to that C-suite office. But here you are, just giving loads and loads and loads of money away, because you're actually pretty good at making money. You're good at managing money, and you're good at making it. And you're increasing your giving, and you're providing for your family, and you're meeting the needs of the community, and you live well below your means because your passion didn't become your purpose. Your passion simply became a pathway to fulfill your greater purpose because you're living your life investing in the kingdom of God, so that way, by the time you get to heaven in your boring accounting office job, you will eventually die. We all will. We have an expiration date, 100% mortality rate for humans, by the way. And you die, and you get to heaven. And when you get to heaven, there's a whole lot of people who never used your currency, who didn't know what a computer was, and who never lived near you, doesn't know what accounting is, but they're up in heaven looking for you. And here they come. They finally find you, and they're just an army of them. And they go, "Are you boring office guy?" And you're like, "Yeah, I'm boring office guy." And there they are, standing in front of you, and they're going, "Thank you for your boring office. It was because of your boring job that funded the missionaries, that translated the Bible, that dug the well, that sent the food, that filled our stomachs so that way our ears could hear the message of the gospel, so that way our minds could understand the message of Jesus Christ that we were reading in our own language because of your boring office. We're here at this party. Praise God." Now maybe it isn't a boring office job. Maybe it's a second grade classroom. Maybe it's a design studio, maybe it's a hospital floor, whatever it is, wherever it is, the same principles apply. And here's the thing, all along the way, as you do what you do with excellence and integrity, inevitably what will happen is that those in your immediate circles around you will begin to respect you. And you will have gained influence in their life. And you will have gained the right at some point in some way that hopefully feels somewhat natural to be able to explain to them why you are the way you are and why you do the things you do. Why you don't drive what they drive, why you don't live where they live. But here's what happens every day. Every year, 18 million college students graduate from public universities in the United States. And students like you will let their passion become their purpose. And the gifts and the abilities and the brilliance that you have ends up going totally wasted for the kingdom of God. Now, some of you might be sitting here, you might be going, "Yeah, that sounds great. I actually don't know what my passion is. I mean, I'm in this degree program. I don't even know that I'm interested in it. In fact, I might change it for the ninth time. You know, I don't really know what I want to do. I don't know what my passion is. I just want to be able to get a job when I graduate, and that's honestly all that I'm looking for, right? Like, I just want the dot on my timeline after graduation to be not homeless. That's the dot, okay? That's it. If that's you, my guess is that's maybe a lot of you. I look at you and I go, "Great. Not a problem." Because you don't need to know your unique passion as long as you know your unique purpose. That's why Paul said, "Whatever." You're going to do something. You may not love it. It may not be your forever thing. But it's not about what you do. It's about why you do what you do and how you do what you do. So whatever you do, whether you're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company or you're a barista, you do whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what worship is. We're going to have a late night tonight. on singing and worship. But worship is not just singing and music. No, worship is doing whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God. That's what worship is. That's how you worship God in a boring office job. That's how you worship God in an elementary school classroom. That's how you worship God as a student right now. It isn't the super spiritual professional Christians who are going to win the world. It's really not. Pastors are not going to win the world. It's accountants, it's teachers, it's social workers, it's designers, it's nurses, it's lawyers, it's dentists, it's dads, it's moms, it's physical therapists, it's speech pathologists who go into the places that they are at in normal everyday life, whose passion fuels a greater God-glorifying, gospel-spreading, eternity-shaping purpose. That's what's going to change the world. You, if you live your life in this way, are going to change the world. You're going to turn it upside down in Jesus' name. So Saul Company, do you want your life to count for something beyond this life? Do you want your life to actually have a purpose worth getting up for every morning of your life? Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's how you do it. Let's pray. Oh, Father, would you give every student in this room a greater vision for your glory being spread in their life in whatever place they end up, whatever they end up doing, wherever they end up going. God, would you help them see that in whatever they do, there is an opportunity to make you known, both here, near, and far. Oh God, give us a greater purpose for our work. And help us as we step into our passions to glorify you in everything we do, that the name of Jesus would be praised in every mouth on this planet. For your glory and our good, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.